Welcome back to Colt Schnero Chat. It's a Sunday evening show. I'm Jeremy. Robbie is with me. And Robbie, I've never really seen this before. It's a team that can't start playing until they're down 2-0.
Yeah, well, it's exactly what Diego Simeone has had to do, and it's exactly what we've been crying out for in one way. Atletico needed to evolve. They needed to become more attacking, but we didn't know that they were just going to forget how to defend.
Completely.
Although, having said that, they were missing Stefan Savic still, and yeah, it's Simeone is still trying to figure it out exactly how he wants to play it, going away from his going away from the original Cholismo. It was never going to be easy, but I think it's safe to say now, I think, that he has committed fully to a more dynamic attack, a riskier style of playing, and as we've seen the last two games, that there's some growing pains with that.
You could also just call it chaos, because that's really what it has been this week, a week which has seen Atletico ship 5 goals. A couple years ago, that would have been unthinkable, seeing Atletico concede 5 goals in a month, you know, let alone 1 week. But after the 3-2 loss to Liverpool, we're now talking about a 2-2 draw with league leaders Real Sociedad. More questions and answers.
That's what I was just going to say.
I mean,
it's against a really, really good Liverpool team, possibly favourites to win the Premier League, and then Real Sociedad, who are no slouches whatsoever. I completely take your point. Two really good teams.
Mm-hmm.
I think Simeone kind of accepted getting involved in a bit of a shootout with them, rather than sitting back and playing on the counter. I interrupted you.
No, it's a good point that these are two very good teams that Atletico played. Like, La Real, even with all the injuries that they have, no Oyarzabal, no Zubimendi today, David Silva's just back from injury, basically. Nacho Monreal hasn't played this year, for example. Just a wave of injuries that they've had to overcome. And, yeah, they showed today in the first half, the first 50 minutes, that they are indeed no slouches. They went up 2-0, the opening goal coming on 7 minutes from Alexander Sorloth. And it was, if you're a fan of good defensive football, this was just a mess for Atletico defensively, giving up this first goal.
Yeah, slightly naive, I think. No, I mean, Felix trying to beat a man there when they were just getting set in transition, in attacking transition, and then the Felipe stepped up when he probably maybe shouldn't have. But that's the same. On that same note, it was just a really good counterattack by Real Sociedad, and Alexander Sorloth was excellent today. I mean, he really surprised me with some of his movement, and he's no slouch whatsoever on the counter either. And for a big lad, like, you know, there was another counter later on in the first half where he was actually accelerating away from a. I'm not sure who it was, and that was Rodrigo de Paul. It was Rodrigo de Paul chasing him for the goal too. Like, I mean, it was it wasn't like it was Koke chasing him. It was just a really good counter attack. But yeah, just it's sloppy for Atletico to concede a goal like that.
Yeah, I think naive is a perfect way to say it.
Yeah, I don't know if Oblak was fully to blame, he didn't have no blame whatsoever. But I thought maybe he could have done a little bit better, maybe dived at Sorloth.
Yeah.
Maybe it was just an awkward one. Maybe it was just an awkward one, the way that it kind of fell.
Yeah, I thought that he got caught kind of on the edge of the penalty area, wasn't sure whether to go down and try to snag it or whether to try to stand up, get into a posture and make the save. He got kind of caught between two positions there. And I'm sure he wasn't expecting the Joao Felix giveaway, and Felipe was just completely outclassed on this counterattack. I tweeted about this during the first half. I thought that Emmanuel Alguacil's decision to start Sorloth and Alexander Isak was a really good one, knowing that Jimenez and Savic were both out, knowing that those are two big, very skilled target men. I thought it was a really good idea, and it paid off. Suarez said after the game that Villarreal came out in a formation and with an alignment that really caught Atletico off guard, and it sure did. Just that first half was a very composed, very calm, very confident Real Sociedad team on the road.
Yeah, and but I also thought Atletico looked quite good in attack themselves. And I guess this is the kind, that was the kind, that's the kind of nature of how Simeone wanted to play it, and how it was and how Real Sociedad wanted to play it too. But yeah, aside from, I'm sure we'll talk about it now, aside from Suarez's kind of struggles, I guess, I thought Atletico did look way more dynamic at times, had a couple of nice moves, a couple of nice chances. But I know like they were 1-0 down going in at the break, but I thought the first half wasn't completely awful either. Like they did look a little bit more fluid in attack. I just think when you look at Joe Felix and Lamar kind of moving the ball at speed and beating players, it's really a joy to watch. Like, and I think that's kind of the key to this to any Atletico Madrid success going forward.
Yeah, you pretty much said it right there with how dynamic Atletico look in attack now. There's honestly, I have a lot more confidence in how Atletico attack and how they look going forward than I do coming the other way, which is just so kind of stunning to say about a Simeone coached Atletico team. We know about his reputation, and we know about how defensively solid these teams have been for so many years now under Cholo, but that's kind of how it was trending last season, and now we're basically there now with how Atletico have been shipping goals. No Jimenez, no Savage in this game, both players not fully fit. Felipe had a really tough game, really tough time. His level, Robbie, has really kind of dropped off since the return to play during the 2019-20 season, coming back for those final 11 post-COVID games.
Yeah, and there was a spell before that where he was amazing, and yep, it looked like
he's great.
It looked like he could be the heart of that central defense. But yeah, he's I suppose part of it is because he's been asked to do more now, with a kind of a higher line, with more possession, being asked to defend higher up, which means there's more space behind you, so there's kind of less room for error, and those kind of, I guess that separates the wheat from the chaff, like, and that's the kind of, that's what makes the best players the best, and I think he did look and has looked sloppy, I guess is the word for it, but just on your point about the way it was trending for Atletico, I wonder if it's an area where they will maybe invest in, if Simeone like decides to keep on building in this manner. It has been evolving like this, and I think it's taken a while for Simeone firstly to trust those young players.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, to understand exactly what it was that they needed, the kind of manager that they needed, and how to kind of get the best out of them. And I think now he's fully kind of appreciated, with the introduction of Rodrigo De Paul, that this is only going in one direction for Atletico, and it can only go in one direction for Atletico if he remains in charge, and if they remain a Champions League contender. It has to evolve into something more attacking and progressive, because they are favourites now in most games that they play. So they're going to have to break down packed defences, and those, we had that conversation 100 times, but it does definitely feel now like with Rodrigo De Paul and with Griezmann, I think that it's fairly clear that this is a very different Atletico Madrid side,
and that's good news. If you're from the vantage point of Atletico needing to finally take that firm, make that firm step, that evolutionary step, because we've really kind of talked about it back and forth since Colchonero chat started 5 years ago, and there have been fits and starts and false dawns, but now it feels like this team is really very attack-oriented, attack-minded, and a bit, more than a bit, now able, better able, I should say, to break down really compact defenses and only concede tight spaces. La Real, a good example of that, right? They defended very well in the first half, very organized, very calm and composed. And they went 2-0 up just after halftime from an Alexander Isak free kick that I thought Oblak should have done a bit better on, Robbie.
No, definitely, yeah. Being beaten on that post, and yeah. Especially when like the way that walls are built nowadays, it's so that the wall can jump as high as it can, and Rodrigo De Paul was laying down as the man, as the kind of sandbag technique or whatever you call it. That's what I call it. To kind of stop the ball from flooding in underneath. But so he's there, and the wall is built so that you can. And if you watch the replay, Oblak kind of cheats over to his right a little bit, and Isak just goes for it. And yeah, he probably could have done a bit better, but Oblak's level was so high for so long that it is kind of inevitable that we've come to kind of expect these superhuman feats from him in every single game, and he's just. He's just a human, like, but I think, back to the earlier point about Felipe, it was his foul.
Oh, yes, it was.
Silva, and just kind of niggly, silly foul with Silva with his back to goal, like, you know, mm-hmm. I don't know, I was kind of going back and forth myself on it before we jumped on the pod here, but I don't know if it's if you can really blame him for that. That he has to try and get the ball, but just kind of really, really obviously, you know, it was just a kind of, what are you doing? Like, that's a free all day.
Yeah, it's a really kind of a ticky-tack foul, one that you don't need to commit, one that Silva is obviously going to get because he's really good at resisting a press. He's really good at turning back to the defender and trying to make that quick turn and draw a foul, which he did. Felipe bit on it, and it led to Isak getting the free kick goal. We mentioned Rodrigo De Paul and how he has kind of, in a sense, along with Lima, I think, emblematic of how Atletico need to evolve and how they need to play to continue contending and staying at the top of the game. But it's after DePaul comes off, Robbie, when Atletico launch yet another comeback. Just before the hour, Lodi and DePaul, who started this game, both come off. Correa and Condogbia enter. And just 3 minutes later, Luis Suarez gets Atleti back in it with a header from a Joao Felix assist.
Yeah, and I think that that's the kind of period in the game where I find it hard to figure out what's going on because it is mayhem in a way, like that's proper chaos. Correa comes on, Herrera come on, Condogbia come on, Cunha come on. There's just loads of players kind of going for it. Carrasco is on the left, and I think that that's when a game can really get out of control either way, and in the end it kind of swung in Atletico's favor, but my point about the chaos is that's not really that doesn't really speak to your tactics as such. That's right. It's kind of like a 2-minute warning drill in American football or something. That's kind of panic stations, you know. That's not really who you're trying to be. That's just, how do we get a goal here? you know, it's not like planned out. It's not planned out in advance, I guess, is what I'm saying. So, and that's when I think Suarez comes to life, really, when it is not street football, but when it's pure instinct, when it's pure, just get the ball forward. Forget about what we went through all week. Just get the ball forward and try and...
Plans out the window.
Your goal somehow.
Yeah.
And yeah, exactly. He comes alive in the chaos, I guess.
Yeah, he thrives in those situations because those are the situations where he knows, and pretty much everyone knows, Atletico are going to try to get the ball into the box any way they can. And he knows if he can just find space and beat his man, he's going to get a good chance at goal. And this was the first really good opportunity he had. Atletico had a couple decent half chances before this, but that really came alive at this moment in the game. The great cross from Joao as well, putting it right onto Suarez's noggin, beats Alex Romero. Real make a couple changes. Isak, David Silva, Zaldúa all come off. Atletico continue to dominate, though. And the eagle eyes in the VAR room, Robbie, they helped out Atletico this weekend, spotting a Mikel Merino foul in the box on Suarez.
Yeah. So this is actually what I was kind of saying about the mayhem So Luis Suarez has spent an hour conditioning the referee, conditioning the defenders, diving, complaining, looking for frees, kind of making defenders aware that I will as soon as I feel contact, I'm going down, and I'm going to be owed one by the ref. I'm going to complain so often that the ref is going to feel like he owes me one, and I think that so when the ball is kind of bopping around in the box in those areas, defenders are kind of looking at Suarez going, I'm actually kind of afraid to go near him, and that's why that's when he, as you say, thrives. And yeah, it was a lovely ball into the box by Joao Felix, and a lovely header by Luis Suarez to get the first one anyway. And then the second one was, I mean, if ever there was he dives on the ground, and he was kind of pretending to be injured from the Mikel Merino studs to the back, not even studs, but the kind of grazing of the studs. The reason I think he was getting up so slowly, he was like reminding the ref, like, you better check this, just in case the ref somehow forgot. But yeah, I think if ever we saw a man buying a penalty, that was it.
Yeah, it was initially one that you thought it was, okay, maybe incidental contact, maybe Merino had gotten the ball, but then the replay showed that, yeah, there was a bit of at least grazing, as you put it. I think that is a good way to put it. Grazing of the studs to the back of Suarez's leg. He did stay down for quite a while, as if to sell it, then sends Ramiro the wrong way from the spot. And all of a sudden, Robbie, Suarez is up to half a dozen goals in La Liga. Very quickly, he's got six of them now.
Yeah. And it's kind of funny because at once... it wasn't his fault that Atletico were down 2-0, but part of the reason why they didn't have as many chances were just kind of how anonymous or poor he was in the first half. But then paradoxically, he's the very man you need to get you back into the game. And I think, like I tweeted out during the game, I said that if you bring him on like you do Cunha for the last half an hour, 25 minutes or something, there's no way he gets those goals, because he takes about an hour, about maybe 45 minutes to actually warm up to the game and get the feel of the game and to kind of figure out where the spaces are. Sometimes sometimes he does get the goals like he did tonight. Other times he doesn't, and you've just kind of taken a chance on him doing it. But instead of having like a player who's going to guarantee you a certain level, Suarez can either be putrid at this stage in his career, or else he, like we saw tonight, turned the game around and won an Atletico point that they probably didn't deserve.
It's a really unique ability to just look past it for most of the game and then just come alive and get two goals to help your team get a point. But that's kind of the Suarez experience at this stage in his career, right? About to turn 35 in January. He'll get his numbers, he'll get his goals, but the question is going to be at what cost, and is that a cost that Atletico are willing to, is that an expense they're willing to pay? I'm glad you mentioned Mateus Cunha, Robbie, because it's really interesting. When Cunha comes on, good things happen for Atletico, even if he's not directly contributing to goals. He comes in against Villarreal and Atletico get the draw. He comes in against Espanyol, Atletico come back to win. He comes in against Getafe, Atletico come back to win. And on Sunday night, he enters in the 73rd minute and Atletico come back to get the draw. I'm not sure what it is, but is there some correlation? I'm not sure, but it's a very interesting phenomenon that's going on with Cunha coming in as a substitute.
Well, you said it there. There's correlation, but I don't know if there's causation. I don't actually know if he's the one that's causing it. I just think it's the fact that it's just the fact that when he tends to come on, Atletico are full throttle trying to get a goal, and obviously he helps by being kind of lanky and long and being another body in the box and kind of taking the attention away from Suarez. So in terms of that, I think definitely he had something. Whether he actually had something on the ball, I'm not sure, but off the ball he definitely makes teams think about his presence and gives Atletico an option from crosses and things like that. But having said that, at what point does he actually get a chance to go and prove himself? I don't know. I think we've seen it takes a long time, and some players never get there. A lot of players never get there, but it takes a long time to earn Simeone's trust when you're not one of his like guys. And if you don't kind of convey, like, chances are very hard to come by with Simeone, and if you and that's understandable given the level that Atletico are now at and they have to win every single game. But Cunha didn't seem like a Diego Simeone signing at the time, and definitely I think we can say now that he wasn't really signing that Simeone pushed for, so his chances are going to be really hard to come by, so which adds pressure, because any chance he does get, he has to make the most of it, because he knows there's not that many coming around again. I do think just a word on the, I know La Liga isn't the best league in the world at the moment in terms of the football being played, but it has to be the most competitive. Like, even there was years gone by where Atletico lose one game and you're like, that's it, it's gone. They have to win nearly every single game. And this year it feels like, I don't know, I have no idea who's going to win the league, and that is an incredible thing to say. Like, it feels like Barcelona are out of it. Real Madrid don't look great. Like, you're not going into every single game thinking they're going to win this 3 or 4 nil. Sevilla look good, decent. Real Sociedad look really good. Atletico have a really good squad. I think, like, and I know I'm loath to praise Javier Tebas, but I mean, that's all we're looking for, really, isn't it? Like, it's, and as I say, it's not the best, most incredible football in the world being played right now, but in terms of how competitive it is, it's really fun, and I think it's going to be an amazingly fun season to kind of analyze all these teams, and every game is genuinely just could go either way here.
It's looking a lot like an 80 to 85 point league this year. Atletico won it with 86 points last year. It might not take that many to win it this year because everyone's dropping points, right? The top six teams are within three points of each other. Like, La Real are top. Madrid and Sevilla are on 20 points each. Atletico, Betis, Osasuna, all on 18. Then you have Rayo. We have your Rayo, Robbie, on 16. Barcelona in ninth on 15.
Yeah, and Rayo go to Barcelona Barcelona come to Vallecas on Wednesday night. And it genuinely, like, for the first time as I've been following them, it feels like there might be a point of, like I'm kind of confident that Rayo can get something or at least make it competitive.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, for someone who writes about this for a living and who watches this sport and who's a fan in general, this is amazing, really. Like, isn't it? Like I mean, even tonight, I know it was chaos and that, but just, I mean, that's all you're looking for, really, isn't it? Like, these 4-0 trashings and, like, I was just looking at the Ligue 1, and it feels like Paris Saint-Germain are in crisis. They lost one and drawn. They're 7 points clear at the top of the league. And, like, you know, that just feels like it's over and done with, and we're not even into November yet. And I just think it's great, and it's going to be fun to watch, and it's going to take it's going to take all of like Luis Suarez's know-how and Diego Simeone's tactical kind of manipulation to win this league, and I'm really looking forward to see what happens.
It looks like the league is going to be muy complicado. It's going to be very difficult, even more so than last season, because of the parity and the balance that we've seen. And this process really did start a few years ago, and now it's really in full effect. And it's so much healthier when the league is this competitive, and when every match feels like, okay, this isn't going to be a 7-0, you know, whitewashing. You know, this isn't going to be a 6-0 route. It's going to be competitive, and each of these games will be very tight. And there might not be a ton of goals in every game. It might not be like the Premier League where, you know, Liverpool are averaging 3 goals a game and put 5 past Man United earlier on Sunday. But it's very tight and very competitive, and the top 6 teams all being within 3 points of each other. It's setting up really well for a wild season. It already has been pretty wild from what we've seen. As you mentioned, Rayo were playing Barca on Wednesday, and they should feel like they can take something there. Atletico travel to winless Levante on Thursday, Robbie, a Levante team that is already on their second manager of the season after dismissing Paco Lopez, one of only 2 winless teams in La Liga, 5 draws, 5 defeats. We both expressed some confidence entering this game against La Real. How do you feel about the Levante game? This is a place where Atletico go and usually don't play too well.
What did we predict? We predicted, I think I predicted a 2-0 win for Atletico tonight, did I?
Yeah, you did.
Anyway. Oh, yeah. Thanks for reminding me.
You got the 2 part, right? You got half of it, right? Right?
I'm 50% right. I think Levante showed today that they are a team that can definitely hurt you, and similar in ways to Real Sociedad, in that they kind of let you play, but they will also go at you. So we might be looking under another shootout. Obviously don't have the quality of Real Sociedad, but definitely have the ability to score. Like, Sevilla are one of the stingiest defenses in La Liga, and they managed to get 3 against them. Now, I understand that Sevilla are kind of going through a weird moment where they're kind of trying to get more goals, and they're kind of, they wanted to play more attacking today, and they've got, I do think they have some issues with discipline or concentration or something. But anyway, Levante really punished them today. Like, Sevilla were out of sight a couple of times, maybe 2 or 3 times, and Levante managed to kind of get back into it. So and that comes on the back of the Sunday night game, the Champions League game against Liverpool. Another midweek game now, so Atletico will be tired. We'll probably see some rotation in that, but I'm not gonna predict the 2-0 victory here. Maybe 3-2, but then you're conceding 2 more goals.
You're conceding 2 more at least.
You didn't even ask me.
You're just offering it. Brilliant. Just brilliant.
Like I did last time, just offering up my head. Like, I mean, what am I doing?
It's bold and audacious, and I give you full marks for it. Full credit, Robin.
I don't really mind being wrong, because how often do you get those things right? But yeah.
Yeah, it's Levante. They are entertainers under Paco Lopez. They certainly were, but the results have not followed this year. As you said, they were on the wrong end from their vantage point of an 8-goal thriller at Sevilla today, and then they really did push Sevilla. That's a team that is usually really good at home and really good defensively. And Atletico, I believe, only have 1 or 2 wins at Levante since 2007. I think that's the stat, but I'll have to check on that. Either way, they drew there last year, nearly lost at Levante last season, kind of starting that second half slump that they had to overcome to win the title.
But
this is, in every game in La Liga is big now, right? As we mentioned, the balance and the parity is such that most games like this in the past that were gimmies are now possible banana skins, banana peels. I'm going to pick an Atletico win, but I don't feel all that confident in it because of the team's past struggles at Levante, but this is one Atletico have to have, especially after drawing today at home. And Atletico have gotten the results away from home this year. 3 wins in 4 in La Liga, another one in the Champions League. So 4 wins out of 5 in all competitions. That's an interesting one. You know, Atletico haven't been particularly good at home this year, and they're making up for it with results on the road, I guess.
Look at JB Barron here just offering up predictions.
If you can do it, so can I.
No, I do think it was Levante kind of had Simeone's number for a minute there when Simeone wasn't entirely sure how to kind of build an attacking side, but I think it was more Paco Lopez that had his number, so I don't know what Javier Pereira will do. Mm. And I think maybe Simeone, I mean, Javier Pereira is a new coach, and I think Simeone just had the experience to kind of figure out how, both before the game and also now obviously Simeone won't have a massive sample size to go to analyze what Pereira is planning, but I think both before the game and in-game management, I think Simeone will find a way to win it for Atletico, yeah.
Well, we'll be here to talk about it on Thursday if it happens. Even if it doesn't, we'll be talking about it anyway, because that's what we do on Coach Nero Chat. We offer bold predictions, and we see if they come true. Robbie Dunn, thank you so much for joining me on tonight's show.
No problem at all, Jeremy. I'll chat to you in a couple of days.
And I want to thank you all for listening. Keep it here on Into the Calderon and on patreon.com/CoachNeroChat, where we have a bunch of other bonus goodies. We'll talk to you all again on Thursday. Adios.